interrelationships are. This is called Shreyas, or ultimately auspicious activity. In this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that one should be interested in Shreyas. To achieve the ultimate goal of Shreyas, or good fortune, one should engage everything, including his life, wealth, and words, not only for himself, but for others also. However, unless one is interested in Shreyas in his own life, he cannot preach Shreyas for the benefit of others. Then I'm going to skip to the last paragraph. The Bhagavatam says, it is the duty of the advanced human being to act in such a way as to facilitate human society's attainment of the ultimate goal of life. There's a very similar verse in the Vishnu Purana, just quoted in this chapter. It's verse 43. Om Gyanakim Arandisha Gnanjana Silakaya Shakshalim Kamina Tasma Sri Gurave Namaha Vanchako Patrivyascha Kripa Sindhubhivacha Patitano Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. So Srila Prabhupada says here at the end of this purport, it is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence, and words. He says, of an advanced human being to act in such a way to facilitate human society's attainment of the ultimate goal of life. So Srila Prabhupada understood this verse. This is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions to all the people of the world. Some people, of course, understood and took it up, and many do not. But Prabhupada understood this. He understood what an advanced human being must do. What is his duty, and how does he achieve the ultimate goal of life, and how does he facilitate human society's attainment of that goal of life? So he acted upon this with great conviction. He not only understood the order of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he understood the order of his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj Thakur, who 40 years before Srila Prabhupada came to America, gave Prabhupada that instruction. And in fact, in their very first meeting, Srila Prabhupada relates the story when he went with some of his young friends. I think he was about 26 years old when he met his guru, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. In their very first meeting, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj instructed him, "You're intelligent young men. You should go to the Western countries and preach in the English language and give Krishna consciousness to the whole world." And of course, he repeated that instruction on a couple other occasions to Srila Prabhupada. Now, it isn't that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj didn't give that instruction to others. He did. He gave it to other disciples. And some of those disciples tried. Some of them didn't try. A few tried. They made a few efforts, but nobody really succeeded. No one did anything very substantially. But Srila Prabhupada kept that instruction in his heart for 40 years. And he prepared for that day when he could fulfill the instruction of his guru. Of course, he began to translate books into the English language. He had several volumes. Well, he had all the first canto translated with purports of the Srimad Bhagavatam before he came to America. And finally, after much great effort, trying in so many ways to get passage from India to America. He had no money at all. He finally got a free passage on a cargo ship. It wasn't like this was on the, what are those lines, like the Princess Line or those cruise ships. This wasn't a cruise ship. This was a cargo ship. So he's down in the hold of a cargo ship. I mean, you know, they had some rooms, you know, but not exactly very, very nice place. And finally, he had the opportunity to come to the Western world. So on this day, we are commemorating 50 years when Srila Prabhupada left Calcutta on his historic voyage on the Jaladuta ship to come to America. And so that began the Krishna Conscious Movement as we know it in the West. I'm going to read just a real little bit from the Lilamrita about that day. It was August 13th, just a few days before Janmashtami, the appearance day anniversary of Lord Krishna, and the next day would be his own 70th birthday. And so he went with this Mr. Bhattacharya down to the docks. Mr. Bhattacharya and Bhaktivedanta Swami took a taxi down to the Calcutta port. Bhaktivedanta Swami was carrying a Bengali copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita, which he intended to read during the crossing. Somehow he'd be able to cook on board, or if not, he would starve, as whatever Krishna desired. He checked his essentials, passenger ticket, passport, visa, P-form, sponsor's address. Finally, it was happening. Srila Prabhupada recalled later, "With what great difficulty I got out of the country. Some way or other, by Krishna's grace, I got out so I could spread the Krishna conscious movement all over the world. Otherwise, to remain in India was not possible. I wanted to start a movement in India, but I was not at all encouraged." The black cargo ship, small and weathered, was moored at dockside, a gangway leading from the dock to the ship's deck. Indian merchant sailors curiously eyed the elderly saffron-dressed sadhu as he spoke his last words to his companion in the taxi and then left him and walked determinedly toward the boat. For thousands of years, Krishna Bhakti had been known only in India, not outside, except in twisted, faithless reports by foreigners. And the only swamis to have reached America had been non-devotees, Mayavadi impersonalists. But now, Krishna was sending Bhaktivedanta Swami as his emissary. Mr. Bhattacharya said, "He was alone, a lone fighter. When he left, there was no one on shore to bid him goodbye, no friends, no supporters, no disciple, nobody. Even if you call me, I was not a disciple of his. I was a disciple of somebody else's, so I was not his follower. But due to shared love, I had very much respect for him, so I was the only person standing on the shore to say him goodbye. No one was with me. I would not know that it was such an important thing." So that was the scene of Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada's leaving Calcutta. One person accompanied him, no big fanfare, no big support, a few rupees in his pocket, and a trunk full of Srimad Bhagavatams. Very, very different from what happened 2 weeks ago in Calcutta. There was a wonderful celebration that was put on from August 13th through 16th for 35,000 people attended. The Prime Minister came, other ministers came, and they had such a wonderful celebration commemorating Prabhupada's coming to America. They had the Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard, Congresswoman from Hawaii, was there. I just heard it on YouTube today. She gave a very, very nice talk. And she talked about Krishna, talked about the chanting of the holy names, and she concluded saying that the only reason that she had the wonderful opportunity to chant the names of Krishna was due to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is her param guru, her grand spiritual master, and she attributed, you know, everything to Srila Prabhupada. So it's very, very wonderful. And now we have a congressperson endorsing Srila Prabhupada like this. And, of course, so many people. But it's quite different, than Srila Prabhupada's humble beginnings, we could say. And now, of course, we're having a wonderful celebration over the next year, 2015-2016. Is the 50th commemoration. We'll have many, many different events. Our next event is September 19th in Boston. In a few weeks is when Prabhupada made it across the ocean to Boston Harbor. And there's going to be a big celebration with the devotees there. They've got a big ship rented. The whole hundreds of devotees are going to go out and come back into the pier and that kind of thing. And then Bhakti Marg Swami starts walking, as he likes to do, to Butler, Pennsylvania, which was Prabhupada's next stop. So he's going to walk to Butler and then back to New York City, which is, you know, the route that Srila Prabhupada performed. So anyway, many, many things will be happening. It'll culminate in 2016 around July. In July is the 50th anniversary of Prabhupada's incorporating the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So this is a very, very, very important. This is sort of like the climax or the epitome of our year of celebration. And of course, Srila Prabhupada incorporated ISKCON, and he wrote those wonderful seven purposes of ISKCON that used to always be in the back of the Godhead that are so nice that explain Srila Prabhupada's mission and what he is bringing to us. So, you know, we all want to get involved in these. It gives us an opportunity to glorify Srila Prabhupada. It gives us an opportunity to increase the public awareness of this Krishna consciousness movement and hopefully bring many more people to understand what this movement is and what we have to offer to so many people. And of course, that all comes about because of Srila Prabhupada's coming here 50 years ago. I could get some water and have somebody help me. So this is more than a historical commemoration. You know, we have so many things, 50 years of this, 100 years of that. Remember, some of you old enough to remember, what was it, 1976, the 200th celebration of, you know, the birth of America and the Declaration of Independence. I remember it because Srila Prabhupada was in Washington, D.C. when I was there in 1776, and so we had some wonderful pastimes. But, you know, what do people really think about it? Often it's just a number, you know, 50 years, 100 years. But this is much more than a number. This is an opportunity to understand the purpose of Srila Prabhupada's coming and understand Prabhupada's deep realizations. Prabhupada understood that this is to achieve the ultimate goal of Shreyas or good fortune, one should engage everything, his life, his wealth, his words, not only for himself, but for others. This is the mood of the great acharyas. We see in our line of spiritual masters a thread, continuing thread, a mood that we see from one guru to the next in our parampara, and that's that mood of compassion. Compassion for the suffering of living entities in this material world and the desire to give the solution to that suffering. Everyone is suffering in this material world, birth, death, disease, and old age, the threefold miseries. We all know that. We know there's so much unhappiness and suffering here, but there is a solution. Krishna consciousness gives us the positive program, the relief from suffering. And that's given by the spiritual masters and the acharyas, the devotees of Lord Krishna. So this compassion to others comes not from a material emotion or some sympathy, but it comes from deep spiritual conviction. It is true spiritual compassion. That is the deepest empathy that we can have for other living entities. And that comes from feeling the pain of the living entities who are suffering in this material world. We have, of course, some of our greatest examples in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We have the example of Prahlad Maharaj. I want to read a verse in purport that exemplifies this mood of the Vaishnava. Prahlad Maharaj says, "My dear Lord Nrsingadev," Bhagavatam 7:9-44, "I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance. Not caring for the big cities and towns, they go to the Himalayas or to the forest to meditate with vows of silence. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone. Leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals, I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to the shelter of your lotus feet." I'm not going to read the whole purport, but some parts of it. Srila Prabhupada says, "Devotees solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead never fear any condition of life. For a devotee being situated in the heavenly planets and being in the hellish planets are equal. For a devotee lives neither in heaven nor in hell, but with Krishna in the spiritual world. The devotee has no such interest. He is not interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayas or the forest. Rather, his interest is in the busiest part of the world where he teaches people Krishna consciousness. A Vaishnav like Prahlad Maharaj is not interested in such a bluff of spiritual advancement. Rather, he is interested in enlightening people in Krishna consciousness because that is the only way for them to become happy. The Krishna consciousness movement was started for this purpose. The members of the Krishna conscious movement are not only interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayas or the forest, are not at all interested, where one will only make a show of meditation, nor are they interested in opening many schools for yoga and meditation in the cities. Rather, every member of the Krishna conscious movement is interested in going door to door to try to convince people about the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as it is, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. That is the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement. The members of the Krishna conscious movement must be fully convinced that without Krishna, one cannot be happy. So Prabhupada speaks very strongly, as he always does, about the need to go out and to preach, to not simply be concerned with one's own salvation. Of course, first one must take care of oneself. You know how they say on the, when you go on the airplane and they have the film and they say, when the things drop down, for the air, they say, be sure to put on your own mask first before trying to assist others. In other words, it's not going to do any good. If you're dying there, you're not going to be able to help the other person. So in the same way, of course, you have to first be able to help yourself. You have to be Krishna conscious to be able to give Krishna consciousness. You have to be enlightened to give enlightenment, and you have to be able to have some deeper understanding of spiritual life, to be able to touch the hearts of others and impart real spirituality to others. So a pure devotee such as Srila Prabhupada is able to do this. The last line we read was, the members of the Krishna conscious movement must be fully convinced that without Krishna one cannot be happy. Well, at least one of the members of this Krishna conscious movement was fully convinced, and that was Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was fully convinced. There was never a doubt in his mind. He understood this to be the absolute truth, and he gave everything to spread Krishna consciousness around the world. He gave up his health. He gave up his life. He gave up everything. When Srila Prabhupada came to America 50 years ago, he was more than just a teacher. He didn't just say, oh, here's some nice books to read. Read the Bhagavad Gita. Read the Srimad Bhagavatam. The spiritual master has to be more than one who just offers the philosophy or gives some lip service to the philosophy. The spiritual master must live the philosophy. The guru must be acharya. Acharya in Sanskrit means one who shows by example. So it is not simply by precept, simply by philosophy, but by the living example that the guru shows us how to be Krishna conscious. So in the beginning, when Prabhupada came to America, nobody knew anything about Krishna consciousness. We knew very, very little. I remember I had read some version of the Bhagavad Gita prior to Srila Prabhupada's, and I had absolutely no idea what it meant. I thought it was kind of cool, something from India, And it was like, if you asked me, what does it mean? I could not tell you. When I read Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, it became crystal clear. Well, I can't say that I was crystal clear, but I knew this was the absolute truth, And little by little, I began to understand it. But it seemed comprehensible even from the beginning, because Srila Prabhupada wrote with such realization and with such conviction and with an understanding of his audience. He not only knew the Vedic scriptures, but he knew how to present them according to time, place, and circumstance. He knew how to present them to his Western audience, to us young Westerners, so that we could understand and we could accept this philosophy, which in many ways is very foreign to us. So, there must be the acceptance of the spiritual master. This is the Vedic system. Krishna is the original spiritual master, of course. Krishna gives all spiritual knowledge. So Krishna is delivering all the living entities. But Krishna is using the agency of the guru. Krishna wants to engage his devotees in bringing others back to him. This is the service that he gives to his devotees. And the devotees very enthusiastically take up that service of bringing Krishna's lost jivas back to his lotus feet. So we have an absolute necessity to approach the guru. The Vedaka Upanishad says, I won't read the Sanskrit, To understand these things properly, one must humbly approach with firewood in hand a spiritual master who has learned in the Vedas and firmly devoted to the absolute truth. So make sure you have your firewood with you. This is kind of a somewhat dated reference, but you know, it's 5,000 years old. But basically it means that the guru was a Brahmin and used the firewood for the sacrificial fire. So in other words, his disciples would bring firewood, which would help him in performing his yajnas, you know, the sacrifices that he would perform. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.21 says, therefore, any person who seriously desires real happiness must seek a bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. Sometimes we hear initiation is not really necessary, this or that, we only need the holy name. But there are countless, countless verses from our scriptures that talk about the necessity of taking initiation. Everybody should aspire to find a guru, to find a bona fide spiritual master and take initiation. This is the injunction of our scriptures. In the Nectar Devotion, Rupa Goswami gives all of the processes, 64 processes of devotional service. There's 10 preliminary do's and there's 10 preliminary don'ts, and then there's all the different processes of deity worship, 64 in number. The first 10, what are the first 5? All have to do with the guru, right? The first 5 instructions of Rupa Goswami are accept the shelter of the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master, become initiated, obey the orders of the spiritual master, follow in the footsteps of the great acharyas, inquire from the spiritual master how to advance in Krishna consciousness. So this is an absolute necessity, and all of our Vaishnava acharyas propound this, that we must take shelter of the guru. So it's not enough to just read or study literature. You also need the guidance of the guru. Just like if you were going to learn carpentry, you can get a book and you can try to figure it out. Or if you were going to, I suppose, if you wanted to be a surgeon, I guess you could get a book on surgery and you could start practicing. But, you know, not such a good idea, is it? Better that one is trained by someone who is expert, right? Better that one has training from qualified instructors, professors, or a qualified mentor or apprentices to somebody to learn a trade. This has always been the way that people learn, right? Even from the earliest days, people would apprentice to some trade. If you want to be a farmer, you learn from a farmer, like that. So if you want to be a spiritualist, if you want to learn God consciousness, if you want to learn spiritual life, you learn from a spiritual authority, and that's the spiritual master. The qualification of spiritual master is described in the Bhagavatam, 11th canto. The qualification of a bona fide guru that he has realized the conclusion of the scriptures by deliberation and is able to convince others of those conclusions. Such great personalities who have taken shelter of the Supreme Godhead, leaving aside all material considerations, should be understood to be bona fide spiritual masters. So again, one who has realized the conclusion of the scriptures and is able to convince others. These are some of the qualifications of a spiritual master. So Krishna, we could say, is the deliverer of the fallen souls, of the conditioned jiva. But Krishna also comes in the form of the spiritual master. And there are many spiritual masters. There's the Diksha, initiating spiritual master. There's the Shiksha guru, instructing spiritual masters. And our scriptures say there could be many Shiksha gurus. And there's also the past acharyas. Srila Prabhupada is, for many of us, our direct guru, our initiating spiritual master, and for others of the next generation, he is the Param Guru. He is like the grandfather spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada told us once, talking about his guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Maharaj, he said we should pray to Bhaktisiddhanta, he said, because the grandfather is more kind than the father. Isn't that true? Often the grandfather is more lenient, you know, more, ask my grandchildren. You know, it's true. So, in other words, those who are grand disciples of Srila Prabhupada can get even more mercy by going to the grandfather, the Param Guru. So he is available to all of us. Srila Prabhupada is the founder acharya of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's described that he is the preeminent Shiksha Guru for all of us. Whatever one's Diksha Guru may be, and one has that very, very special relationship with the Diksha Guru, one also has relationship with Prabhupada as Shiksha Guru. And that relationship will be for all time for ISKCON. Srila Prabhupada said that his position will be there for the next 10,000 years, confirmed. Right. Prabhupada said, my books will be the law books for ISKCON for 10,000 years, for this whole golden age of Kali, as long as Krishna consciousness is prominent in this world, we will have Srila Prabhupada's words in his instruction. And Srila Prabhupada is uniquely qualified to spread this Krishna conscious movement all over the world. Getting a little loud. Okay. As we said, many devotees, disciples, were sent by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. A couple of them went to England or different places. But Srila Prabhupada was the one who succeeded. Srila Prabhupada was the one who was empowered. And even some of his godbrothers said that he was directly empowered by Lord Nityananda to spread this Krishna consciousness movement throughout the world. He was given that Shakti by Lord Krishna, by Lord Chaitanya, by Lord Nityananda. And we can see the result. We can see the result that he started temples all over the world, made thousands of disciples. His books were translated now into, I don't know how many, hundreds of languages all over the world. Somebody just printed, you know, some of the statistics that we can see that not only that Srila Prabhupada had the potency to begin the Krishna conscious movement, but his potency continues. It continues in that the movement continues to grow. Srila Prabhupada's legacy continues because he had that influence that he could inspire succeeding generations to continue this important work. Now it's described as something like 75,000 initiated disciples around the world, over 600 temples in ISKCON, and you know, we could go through all the statistics, the number of millions of books that have been published. Actually, I think it's only after the Bible, the Quran, and the teachings of Chairman Mao, which I think they distributed about 600 million, and everyone had to take one in China. So it was one process of book distribution. But Srila Prabhupada has created a tremendous change within this world. Prabhupada's position is becoming established more and more. If you haven't read Rabindra Sarup Prabhu's wonderful book on Srila Prabhupada, the founder of Acharya, everyone should read it. If you don't, you can get it online. It's available everywhere. We're trying to kind of like, as aging disciples of Srila Prabhupada, make sure that Srila Prabhupada's legacy is established, that we do not forget Srila Prabhupada, that Srila Prabhupada doesn't become a historical footnote, it becomes a very real and living and presence within our spiritual lives for generations to come. So we have our different guru disciple courses that are there to help us to know, understand Srila Prabhupada and the position in all of our lives. Whether we're first initiates, whether we're, you know, initiates of Prabhupada, or whether we're initiates of followers of Srila Prabhupada, either way. And we want to make sure that those foundational principles carry on. 2 years ago, the GBC wrote a statement on the position of Srila Prabhupada. How many of you have read the GBC statement on the position of Srila Prabhupada? One, two, three. Oh, a few of you have. Great. I was afraid no one was going to, nobody would say they had. Because, you know, usually most of what we do in the GBC is somebody irrelevant or nobody ever pays attention to what we do. So, hey, we're realistic, you know. We have to. But anyway, this was a very, very important statement. And actually, part of that went along with the statement, the resolutions for the ISKCON law is that everybody should read it. And everyone before taking initiation should read the statement. So just in case some of you haven't, I'm going to read this statement. Not all of it, the first couple, few paragraphs. As the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON, and the preeminent teacher and ultimate authority within our society. Srila Prabhupada has a unique relationship with every ISKCON devotee. Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the original guru whose divine grace descends through the medium of the Guru Parampara. As such, the devotee is ultimately delivered by Sri Krishna, acting through a combination of various manifestations of his mercy. These include, but are not limited to, the Chaitya Guru, Srila Prabhupada, the Guru Parampara, one's Diksha Guru, other Shiksha Gurus, the Holy Name, Shastra, and the nine processes of devotional service. Within these cooperative elements, Srila Prabhupada is the founder Acharya of the International for Krishna Consciousness, is the preeminent Shiksha Guru for all members of ISKCON. All members of ISKCON for all generations are encouraged to seek shelter of Srila Prabhupada. All members of ISKCON are entitled and encouraged to have a personal relationship with Srila Prabhupada through his books, teachings, service, and his ISKCON society. All members accepting leadership roles of the ISKCON, including Diksha Gurus and Shiksha Gurus, have the duty of serving together under ISKCON's Governing Body Commission, GBC, to fulfill Srila Prabhupada's instructions as he's given in his books, lectures, and personal communications. Overall, the primary duty of Shiksha Gurus, Diksha Gurus, and others in leadership position is to assist Srila Prabhupada in his service to his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and our Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Those who accept the service of Diksha Guru or Shiksha Guru in ISKCON are required to be exemplary in representing Srila Prabhupada's teachings in their words and personal behavior. The Shiksha Guru gives spiritual instruction and inspiration on behalf of Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Parampara. The Diksha Guru gives spiritual instruction, inspiration, formal initiation, a spiritual name, and later imparts the sacred Gayatri Mantra to a qualified disciple as a service to Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Parampara. So there's a little bit more to it, but I thought that was a really nice statement of how we're all connected for all generations with Srila Prabhupada. And I personally feel this was very inspired. I don't know if many of you know about it, this kind of the inside workings, but Anutama Prabhu was helping to write it, but the main inspiration actually came from Radhana Swami, wrote the first draft, and then, of course, a lot of people got involved in editing and changing, but a lot of the philosophical inspiration came from Radhana Swami, and, you know, it was just a, then it was kind of a collaborative effort, and I think that it, I think it's particularly important because we are recognizing that it doesn't matter whether one is an initiating guru or a Shiksha guru or a leader in ISKCON or a GBC or whatever one might be. We are all simply humble servants of Srila Prabhupada. And our position is to serve Srila Prabhupada, to give Prabhupada's instruction, to help others to come to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada in whatever that capacity may be, whether it be a Diksha Guru, a Shiksha Guru, or just another devotee who is helping other people, new devotees come to this position. So for this 50th anniversary, we have a special opportunity to establish Srila Prabhupada's position, not only amongst ourselves and to solidify that understanding within the society of devotees, but also to the outside world, to others out there, to the media, you know, to give more and more understanding of what Srila Prabhupada really did and what his contribution to our society has been. It gives us an opportunity to educate the world about his mission and his accomplishments and show the accomplishments of this Hare Krishna movement, which after 50 years is still vibrant and still growing due to the mercy and the potency of Srila Prabhupada. So we have that opportunity to continue and to serve Srila Prabhupada in this way, and hopefully we can give a little pleasure to him. I also want to mention that one very nice way to serve Srila Prabhupada is we've all heard, I think, probably from the second day we were in the temple, probably every one of us, that one of Srila Prabhupada's most cherished services was distribution of his books. Srila Prabhupada spent his life translating these books into English, and he also encouraged us all the time to somehow or another get these books out to people. So we have a marathon going on right now. We We were going for 3,000 books by Vyas Pujaday. I think, you know, Mukhi, we're very close, I think. Yeah, okay. Vrindavan Dasi told me that we were very close. But 2,500, that's not close enough. And I think 3,000 is really too small of a target. I think we did close to 4,000 books last year, and I really encourage everybody to just try to contribute to this process because it gives us the money to be able to buy books in the BBT, which is Prabhupada's Heart and Soul, we all know, his Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, you know, to keep that flourishing. And then we have all of these books. You can either take those books, you can buy them and distribute them yourselves, or if you prefer, you can let the temple distribute them in many, many ways that we have different venues for book distribution. And this is a way that we can really please Srila Prabhupada. You know, in the last 3 years or 4 years, we've tried to really increase book distribution, and we've done over 10% each year. If we can hit 10% again this year, we'll have increased in 3 years or 4 years, 50% where we were. So it's really a nice contribution to be able to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books widely. So, you know, however we can help, and a lot of us aren't able to go out and preach, you know, it's difficult for so many reasons in life, but this is a very easy way to make a very substantial contribution to the preaching, you know, to just sponsor some books. And you can do that, is there a book table somewhere out in the rain? It's in the lobby. You can go to the lobby and you can sponsor Srila Prabhupada's books. So, and of course, remember, 1 week from today, we'll have a most wonderful opportunity to glorify Srila Prabhupada on his Vyas Puja Day, beginning in, you said 8 o'clock, but I imagine we have Guru Puja first, right? We have Guru Puja, and then we'll have, you know, offerings and remembrances all morning and, you know, feast, et cetera, for Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada ki jai, all glory Srila Prabhupada. I think it's probably time for prasadam or fighting the rain or something, but if anyone had, you know, I feel free if you want need to go, but if anyone had a question or anything, I could probably have a couple minutes. Anything? Any other points or discussion? I think everyone's convinced. Okay, Jai Prabhupada.